Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to a brand new week at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And at the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. What's on your mind today? Give us a call right now and let's talk about it at 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The question of the day is, why do you read the Bible? Why do you open up the pages, and what are you hoping to gain from your reading? And the last several weeks, we've talked about what the Bible is all about. It's the story of Jesus. You read to get to know him. But the Bible also has an end result to all of that, and that's a new way of life. That's a life lived by faith in Jesus Christ. He is the author and finisher of our faith. We're to keep our eyes on him. That's what the Bible helps us do, to keep our eyes on Jesus. And as we do, we learn how to walk by faith, how to trust in the Lord and not to lean on our own understanding. And that is so vitally important to living a vibrant and dynamic Christian life, and especially in this world today, in a world that is trying to tell us a different way to live, totally opposite of a life of faith in Jesus Christ. And one of the most recognized passages concerning the Word of God is 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. And most often we just lift those two verses off the pages, out of the context of the whole letter that Paul is writing to Timothy. And if we put it back into context, it makes this passage even more powerful. It gives it some practicality as far as our everyday lives are concerned. So chapter 3 starts out with difficulty that's going to come in end times, the fact that people are going to be lovers of self and all of these things that we're just seeing out there in the world today. Well, how are you going to maintain your focus? How are you going to live in that kind of pressure cooker? How are you going to continue to live out who you are in Christ when the world is sending you messages that are completely opposite of this life of faith in Jesus Christ? And then he talks about himself and how Timothy has followed Paul's teaching, his conduct, his life, all of those sort of things. And then in verse 12, he says this, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Now, we haven't seen a lot of that here in the United States of America. We've been welcomed. The red carpet has been rolled out for us. We've been able to express our faith and to live out our faith openly and with enormous amounts of freedom. Now, that's being contested today. We certainly see voices being lifted up in opposition of the Christian faith here in America, but in other parts of the world, in China and in the Middle East, it is very difficult to be a Christian openly.
Yes.
You have to live underground, so to speak, just to preserve your life. So he's saying, if you want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you're going to face and experience persecution. And all the meanwhile, while you're experiencing that, evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So again, that's the context in which we live the Christian life. People that are deceiving and being deceived, going from bad to worse. And yet God is calling us to live out our identity in Christ Jesus, to be those sanctified vessels that God has made us to be, to truly allow the life of Christ to manifest itself in and through us. And so he goes on to say, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So what is the purpose of this Bible? What is God's intent for you as a human being? Well, God's intent is for you to become acquainted with Jesus, to get to know Jesus so that you can live by faith in him. So first and foremost is your salvation from death to life, the salvation in which you experience forgiveness of sins, the salvation in which you are born again and made new in Christ Jesus. So that's what the sacred writings are there for, to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And here comes the famous verses. All scripture is breathed out by God. This truly is the word of God. This truly is God revealing himself to us in the person of Christ Jesus. And in doing so, his word becomes profitable for us, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that we may be competent and equipped for every good work. So what is every good work? Well, it is a work that flows from a life of faith in Jesus Christ. We abide in the vine of Christ. He lives his life through us. We are saved. Why are we saved? Well, according to Paul in Ephesians 2, that God has prepared good works for us that we are to walk in. Well, the Word of God equips us to walk into those good works, to live a life of faith in Jesus Christ. That truly is the work of God for each and every one of us, and to see that faith manifest itself in love one toward another.
Indeed. Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for those opening comments, Bob. And friends, we'd love to hear from you. If it's still the first half of the 3 p.m. hour, roughly about 7 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast. We want to hear from you right now. We were pretty much covered up with calls last week, and we would love for that to continue. We love hearing from you, our listeners, and hearing from you live. Again, 844-322-2742 is good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Friends, you know the story of the cross, the resurrection, and the life of Jesus Christ is the incomparable story of hope, truth, and lasting change for everyone who comes to him by faith. Now, this story is told in scriptural authority by Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer in a 14-CD series called It's All Yours, and we want you to have it. Request your copy as you make your January donation to support this Basic Gospel message. Click Donate at BasicGospel.net or in Canada, BasicGospel.net/Canada. You can also use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal, and we're grateful for everyone who stands with us, and we'd love to hear from you, too, for you to partner with us as well in this message of grace, love, and life in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all yours coming your way as you make your gift in the month of January. Well, guys, we had a question from Obaro. Simply this, is his name really Jesus?
Well, that's what the Word of God says, that his name is Jesus, that they were to call him Jesus. That's what the angel said to Joseph. And sure enough, when he was born, that's the name that they gave him. And that name has meaning. And the meaning of that is that he was going to be Savior, that he was going to save his people from their sins. It's derived from the Hebrew name Joshua. And Joshua, that name in Hebrew means deliverer. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ was for us. He is our Savior, and we see that in his name. Now, Jesus, that's the English translation. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the Greek word, and that's what he would have been known by in the Greek world back in those days. And but we call him Jesus. Why? Because that's the English translation of it. So, indeed, God said to Joseph through the angel that they were to name him Jesus. And that's exactly what they named him. The word Christ, that means the anointed one. So Christ is not Jesus's last name. It's just a word that reflects who he really is, identifies him as the Messiah, the one that the people of Israel were looking for. So yes. When he arrived, he was anointed, or they just said he is the anointed one. Mm-hmm. And he did exactly what he came to do, and that was to save his people from their sins. So, yes, his name is Jesus.
Yes, indeed. And Obaro was his name that posed that question.
That's right. That's right.
Hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Well, we had a call that came in from Mesquite, Texas. Bob, let's listen to that one.
Well, let's do. Rod, you are on the line. Welcome to Basic Gospel, my friend.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You are so welcome.
Hey, what my question is, Adam and Eve, I know that sin entered into the world through Adam and Eve, but before the fall of mankind, was the Garden of Eden like heaven? I mean, was it injury free and sickness free? And I know Adam had to do some toiling to keep the garden, but I mean, was it comparable to heaven before sin entered into the world through Adam and Eve's sin?
Well, it's a place where heaven and earth met. So it was the dwelling place of God. So in that creation story, we see God really creating a dwelling place for himself where he could dwell with man. And so that Garden of Eden was that dwelling place. So I would imagine it was a pretty spectacular place. Now, as far as Adam manning the garden, that was a joy for him.
Yeah,
and when sin came in, then that joy of manning the garden became a job,
yeah.
And it became a drudgery, and that was the result of sin. But for all of us, working is one of the great things that we get to do, that we get to put our hands to a task and experience great joy from doing that. So God didn't give Adam a job because he wanted to punish him or give him a 9-to-5, something to do from 9-to-5. That was to be great joy for Adam, and indeed that's what he experienced in his work in the garden. So it wasn't a burden; it was a great joy.
Do you think that they had any kind of injuries or any kind of sickness, or was that? Comparable to heaven in the fact that sin had not entered into the world yet. So,
well, I would say,
Adam couldn't cut himself or whatever.
Yeah, I would say it was perfection. I mean, when God created Adam and Eve, he stepped back and said, "That's good." And so, if God has put his stamp of goodness on something, you can imagine it's just perfect in every single way. So they knew no sin. They knew no death. That only happened after the fall.
Hi, thank you so much. I appreciate your program, and keep doing what you're doing.
Hey, thanks, Rod. Thanks for calling.
Yes,
it's so great to hear from you.
Yeah.
Yes.
We heard from Rod last week, and he had a good question at that particular time as well.
Yeah. Well, Rod, thanks for calling. Well,
yeah.
We have a great question from one of our YouTube watchers today, from Beverly. And she asked this: so many refer to God as the universe and leave Jesus out completely.
Yeah.
How do I respond when a conversation with someone takes this direction? That's a great question, isn't it, guys?
Yeah it is. I think John probably helps us the best there, as in his first chapter, the first chapter of his gospel, he says that Jesus was the creator. So you can't have the universe without Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably, I mean, for my money, you know, my opinion, the biggest reason that things like evolution exist as an explanation of the beginning of things is that there is an explicit attempt to remove Jesus from the universe. And you just can't do it. I mean, you can try, but then you can't answer the question of beginnings. Because there are no beginnings.
Yeah.
But if you're willing to put Jesus back into the universe as the actor, God himself, who spoke it all into existence, now you have a basis for a beginning and a middle and an end, meaning, purpose, love, salvation, the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that we learn from Scripture is that God is holy. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that he is set apart. So we have God, and then we have his creation.
Yes.
So the creation isn't God.
Correct.
And so someone trying to say that God is the universe, and they leave Jesus out of that, they are equating just everything that we see around us mm-hmm. with God. That he's just this force absorbed into the universe or a part of the universe.
And that comes out kind of badly.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And that's really New Age thinking. So we have to recognize that God is outside of his creation. Mm-hmm. We certainly see attributes of God yes. within his creation. He's put his fingerprints all over it. So we learn some things about God. But his creation isn't God.
Correct.
And that's what we have to understand. It's like a painter and his painting. So the painting, the guy puts his name on it, mm-hmm. and we can see some characteristics of what this guy might be like. But his painting is not him. And in the same way, this universe is not God. So God is outside. He's set apart. He's holy. And he, and by grace... as a result of his grace, created. So this whole yes. creation story is an act of grace on God's part. So for us, for you and me. So really, this whole universe is for us. And that's just mind-boggling to think that way. But we have to recognize that God is separate from his creation. He intervenes. He stepped into his creation in the person of Jesus Christ, and that's where we just have to keep driving people, is to Jesus. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's the story. Mm-hmm. And so if someone wants to say, no, God's just the universe, just keep driving them back to the Word of God. To that particular passage, and then say, how are you going to deal with that? Because it's there. It's there in black and white. So let the Word do its job in a person's life in that regard.
It's fascinating to me that I've heard this argument before, and it's argued quite vehemently, but I've never heard anybody claim that Renoir was his painting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We never do that, but we try to paint God into the corner so that he can't be God and can't save us through Jesus.
Yeah. Well, that's an excellent question. And, guys, I know it does you too. It runs me crazy to hear seemingly intelligent people think that the universe standing alone has an intellect. It just doesn't. Well, friends, if the Christian life doesn't seem to be working for you, it's probably due to the same issue Bob Christopher wrote about in his book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. If you're struggling and you want to find out why, well, visit basicgospel.net and order your copy of Bob's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Just click the link at the top of the homepage and find out how the Christian life is really supposed to work. Again, that's Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and you'll find it at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, you mentioned questions from Facebook and YouTube, and of course, friends, we have streamed live video every day of this particular broadcast, and we would love for you to take advantage of that on our Facebook page or our YouTube channel. Morgan wrote to us. She is a viewer on YouTube, and she says, "Hi, guys. I'm doubting my faith. I know you can't lose faith, but can you give me some encouragement on that?" That's from Morgan, who wrote to us through the YouTube channel.
Well, a lot of times when we doubt our faith is because we put our eyes on our circumstances, or we give weight to our thoughts, and a lot of times those thoughts are there that from the world system, from our enemy, and we give weight to that. We start to consider, is that true? And we begin to doubt. And what's the solution to that? Well, the solution to that is to get our eyes back on truth, back on Jesus Christ. And so if he says he saved us, then guess what? He's saved us.
Yes.
If he says that he's forgiven our sins, guess what? He's forgiven our sins. If he says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, and he shed his blood, guess what? We have exactly what we need for our sins to be forgiven, and indeed they are. If he declares us to be righteous, guess what? We're righteous. If he has given us a new heart, guess what? We have a new heart. If we're new creations, then guess what? That's exactly what we are. If he calls us children of God, it's because that's exactly what we are. So we have to get our minds back on truth. And that's where the Word of God helps. It helps us to get our minds back on Jesus and back on what he's accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. But I think the problem, why people doubt, is because we start looking at our circumstances, we start dwelling on some negative thoughts, or we start looking at our sin. And none of those are going to bring good results as far as our emotions are concerned, as far as our assurance is concerned. So we need to kind of put those in the background and bring Jesus Christ clearly into focus. And when we do, that assurance and that confidence starts to grow inside of us. But it's a big deal, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. I've been through this. I get focused on my behavior or, you know, some perceived failure, and it's clockwork. I take my eyes off of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I look at myself. My faith falls.
Yeah.
Jesus hasn't done anything wrong. I may have done something wrong or not, but I'm still forgiven. And it's not until I get myself back looking at Jesus and asking, what has he done? Mm-hmm. What is he doing? That then the thankfulness comes back.
Yeah.
And with it, faith comes back every time. Guaranteed.
Yes, yes, indeed. So if you're doubting and need some resources to help you, there are a couple of things that we have available that we would love to put in your hands. First is a CD that I did called Drive the Stake, and it really will take your mind and just focus it right on the person and work of Jesus Christ. And it will really spell out what the gospel is and exactly what Jesus has done in saving you. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times we just say, Jesus, save me. And then we start to wonder, well, what exactly does that mean? Well, this particular message really lays out exactly what that means. So we would love to put that in your hand. So if there's anybody out there doubting their salvation, wanting to have assurance of their salvation, wanting to know beyond all doubt that they are indeed saved, that they belong to Jesus Christ, we want to put this in your hands. So you can call this toll-free number, 844-322-2742, and request your copy. Again, it's 844-322-2742. Request your copy. Or write to me, bob@basicgospel.net. That's bob@basicgospel.net. Be sure to include an address in your email, and we will send this to you, our compliments. This is so important. We want you to have assurance of salvation. I doubted. It was the most miserable experience in my life. I never could make the Christian life work. And the more I tried, the more intense, the more amplified those feelings of guilt and fear and isolation and distance became.
Yeah.
And when I really started focusing on Jesus, that's when all that cleared up and I knew that I knew that I knew.
Yeah.
And we want that for you. So write to me, bob@basicgospel.net, bob@basicgospel.net, request Drive the Stake. Put your address there, and we will get it to you as quickly as possible.
And you're going to be glad you did, friends. Again, that number, 844-322-2742, you can request it there as well. Well, friends, a quick reminder of the very special gift that we have coming back to you as you make your January gift to support Basic Gospel. It's a CD series we've called It's All Yours, and indeed it is. It's our way of saying thanks to you for supporting this message of love, grace, and life in the Lord Jesus Christ. To make your gift, click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And, of course, as always, in Canada, you can donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. Keep in mind, too, friends, that our listener line is always open for any question you might have, the same one we just gave a few minutes ago or a few moments ago, the number 844-322-2742. Jot it down. Keep it handy. 844-322-2742. Or as Bob said, you can email your question to us at bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.